Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast with your host, South Cox of Stalker Stick Bows.
Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast. This is South Cox, and it is today, Monday, April 27th, the official lifting of our stay-at-home orders here in Colorado. Still a lot of confusion about what we can do and which stores will be open, and be interesting to see how this all plays out. Hopefully things will go off without too big of a hitch and too many more people getting sick or having this thing relapse and start all over again. And oh my goodness, what a nightmare that would be. I know I'm going stir crazy, as I'm sure the rest of you guys are. Actually went out and did some hiking this weekend, which was really nice to get outside, and spent a lot more time outside this weekend than I have in the last probably spent more time outside this weekend than I have in the last 6 weeks. Which was good to see some sunshine. Finally got some nice weather out here. We've been getting some on and off nice weather, just bipolar stuff that you expect to see in the spring when you're in the mountains. But I am definitely ready for warmer weather, and also ready for draw results. Man, it's killing me. Every year, you know, when you put in, then it always sucks having to wait until, seems like as soon as you put in, they should just hit the button on the computer and again spit out the results, so that there's not this long time of waiting and wondering, so you can start making plans. But I guess that's just the reality. So today we are reading, I don't think I've read from The Bear in the Attic, another Patrick McManus. I figured I'd just change it up. I don't know that I've even read any of his stories from this book. Not that I remember personally having read, anyway. So I randomly picked one, Of Fire and the Night. Night is closing in on the trail. You're 20 miles back in the mountains, but not exactly sure which 20 miles. A particular silence settles over the trail. Something moves among the gathering shadows. Or are those shadows? They may not be shadows. Try to ignore the shadows. It's been a long, hard day, and bit by bit, you have been transformed into a single, vertical, barely ambulatory ache. All that awaits you now is another long, lonely night on the cold, hard ground. What am I doing out here? You ask yourself. I must be mad. Indeed, you are mad. All available evidence points towards your being stark, raving mad. Otherwise, right now, you could be warm and cozy and stretched out in front of your beloved TV, munching popcorn and swigging down an ice-cold brew, just like a civilized person. Oh well, you sigh to yourself, I'd better stop and get a fire going. An hour later, you're happily poking at a blazing fire with a stick. Boy, those poor miserable devils stuck back at home, you think. You don't know what you're missing. Surely, we've all been that miracle of revival brought about by the dancing flames of a campfire. At least I have. One night in particular comes to mind. Not that I've ever been lost, mind you, but I do recall a time when my only point of reference were a rock and a hard place. The snow was a foot deep and deepening by the minute. I was bone tired and limping badly because of an injured knee. Furthermore, the logging road where I expected to meet up with my hunting partner had vanished. Gone south, evaporated. Treacherous road. I would have cursed it roundly had my last bit of undrained energy been sufficient to do so. I'd also begun to detect signs of hypothermia coming on. Chills and drowsiness. Fortunately, I remained free of hallucinations, for otherwise I would have missed the family of Sasquatches frolicking among the shadows. As darkness tightened its noose around me, I began to experience a peculiar feeling. A feeling perhaps similar to one some of my friends refer to as scared spitless. but I knew what I needed, a fire. No firewood was immediately apparent, but I did notice some promising bumps in the snow. I dug down through the bumps and found some slender logs, birch logs, in fact. Not only did I now have my fuel, I had my fire starter, shredded birch bark. A fire the size of your father's Oldsmobile soon blazed merrily away, driving back the cold in the night. Shucks, I said to myself, I could stay out here all winter if I had to, or at least until that next Sonics game. I leaned back against the rock, propped my feet up on the hard place, and stuffed my pipe with English rough cut, which I ignited with an ember from my fire. This truly was the life. In the interest of public disclosure, I must disabuse the reader of any illusion that might have arisen out of the above account that I am an expert fire builder. I am not. To the contrary, I am famous among my friends for my total ineptitude in the art of creating a campfire. Yeah, I too read in the Boy Scout field manual all about whittling fuzzy sticks and the like, but I never got to burn what was the fuzz. So I let my wife, Bun, build our campfires because it pleases her so much. It's so easy, she says, giggling. My lengthy experience at camping has taught me that, generally speaking, there are two basic kinds of campfires, the smudge and the inferno. The smudge is the kind of fire you get when you're threatened with freezing to death. The inferno is the kind of fire you cook over. The steak turns out medium rare, and you turn out well done. When you hear a camp cook is smoking, it doesn't mean he's having a cigarette. Despite my poor luck starting campfires, I am well aware that if I were to toss a soggy cigar butt out the window of my car during a torrential downpour, I would most likely burn down an entire national forest. I learned this when I was 7 years old, even though I was not a serious cigar smoker at the time. My good friend Crazy Eddie Molden showed up one day with a box full of wooden kitchen matches. Eddie informed me that if we wanted to escape second grade and become mountain men, it was high time we started practicing our techniques for building campfires. It sounded good to me, as did all of Eddie's ideas. We had discovered through experience over our meager years that in attempting to execute Eddie's ideas, if not ourselves, that it was best if we found some sort of concealment from the ever-prying eyes of adults. A mountain man-sized pile of tree stumps towered up in the middle of one of Molden's pastures. It's quite possible that all the stumps ever cleared from the Molden farm had been heaped in that pile. The mountain of stumps provide both concealment and fuel. Eddie and I found a little private nook among the stumps and began experimenting with various methods of getting a tiny pile of sticks to catch fire. Occasionally, a sliver of flame would leap up briefly and then die out. Eddie worked his way up through the entire box of matches without success. It was most discouraging. Upon later reflection, I'm not at all sure that my mere presence didn't defeat Eddie's best efforts at getting a campfire started. As the last little wisp of smoke gave up the ghost, Eddie said, "Shoot. Well, anyway, I got this idea for a great deep sea diving outfit. You know how to swim? A deep sea diving outfit sounded good to me." As I lay in bed late that night, occasionally coughing up water, I happened to glance outside. It was bright as day out. I checked the clock. Midnight. And then I detected this peculiar roaring sound. I got up and went outside. The Molden's mountain of stumps was shooting flames halfway to the moon. Waves of heat washed over me as I gazed in awe and a bit of terror from a front yard. That fire could have roasted wieners at 100 yards. Soon neighbors were racing in from miles away, expecting to see the Molden's barn going up in flames. Instead, they only found a stump pile fire, but one of spectacular and awesome proportions. Unbeknownst to the visitors, they were looking at the mother of all campfires. People wondered how on earth a stump pile could catch fire in the middle of the night, but they wondered only briefly. Suspicion almost instantly focused on Eddie and me. "Pat and Eddie were playing with matches," was the report that soon came its way around the county. Eddie and I were deeply offended. Playing with matches, indeed? We had been conducting serious campfire research, and it was spectacularly successful. Later, someone asked Mr. Molden why he hadn't burned the stump pile himself. "I was afraid," he said. Embers from the stump fire glowed for days afterwards, as did Eddie's posterior, or at least so he reported to me. Even now, when dousing one of Bun's campfires, I envisioned once again in my mind's eye that towering inferno that seemingly had arisen from the dead remains of a box of matches and a few little sticks of wood. "For heaven's sake, the fire's out," Bun yelled at me. "Enough with the water. You flooded out the neighbors. You're eroding the campground." "Just a couple more bucketfuls," I reply. "I think I must have detected a wisp of steam, although it might have been some gnats passing through." It's true. I may be a little overcautious with campfires, but I can tell you this. I'm never going to burn down a national forest, even in the off chance I get a campfire started. All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. And we have another Mike Mitten story coming up. Let's see, on Thursday. Look forward to talking to you again.
If you have a question, topic, or guest that you'd like to hear about, log on to iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Rate the podcast, and in the review, leave your question, topic, or guest suggestion. Any questions posted will be answered at the beginning of the next recorded podcast. Topics and guest suggestions will be considered and pursued. Additionally, the rating will help the podcast grow. You can further support the podcast by logging on to the Stalker Stickbows website and purchasing a Western Bowhunter podcast t-shirt or window sticker from the Stalker store. Thanks for your support. I'm going down.